All right, I think we know what's involved in this class. I have never taught a class like this, I don't think. But I worked on these lessons and found them beneficial to me, and I hope they will be to you. Largely, as you'll see at the top of the each lesson, our theme scripture, or we used to call it the golden text, would be 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 16 through 18. And I think we might just read that together for a while, and then maybe see if we can say it without having it on the screen. I took the heading there from the New American Standard, but I think most of us were more familiar with the New King James or King James, so we're going to actually quote it from there. Let's read together this section. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal way of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, we'll look at that briefly this morning, and then much more in detail in the last lesson that we have. But this is a great protection. One of the reasons I took it from the New American Standard, the word decaying, I think, works a little better than the word perishing. Perishing is complete loss. Decaying suggests a constant process of decaying. And I think that's what's happening to all of us. Now, even the younger people, to some degree, are pretty affected by that. But as we grow older, we are more conscious of this decaying quality of our bodies. I've given you a card, and I want each one of you, and I might give you just a minute or two, and then not take them up immediately, so you think of something a little later, you might put it on there. But I'd like for you to put there what you have found to be the most disturbing characteristic of getting older. What worries you the most?
Are we putting our names on these?
Sir?
Are we putting our names on these?
No names.
No names.
We can be truly honest.
You can be truly honest. That's right. If you sign your name to it, you can't be honest. All right. Okay, let's, if you'll just do that, I appreciate it. And I'll take them up, not immediately, but does anybody need a writing? I've got some pens up here. What do you find? If you want to put two items, you find. I'm going to put them together, and we're covering, I think, a number of those things in the lessons. But I'd like to see what Elsie Cherry had already suggested one to me last time on the phone. She put through the lessons, and something that is certainly disturbing, and it's something we can pick up easily as we go along. I'll just tell you what she suggested last night. Is she said it's the idea of seeing so many of your peers dying. I've experienced that especially in the last few weeks. Preachers that I have been close to, people that I have loved dearly, passing on, just one run after another. And it's accelerating in pace as I get a little bit older. So that's just one. Come on in, Anita. You qualify. we've got a seat for you.
Thank you.
You can have a seat for you.
Up here.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Take this. We're putting down the one or two things that we find most disturbing as we get older. What causes this problem? Maybe loneliness. It may be just a number of things. Okay, I'm going to let you wait, and if you think of something as we go along, I'd like to get these by the end of the class. one of us is getting weaker. As I said, that's true of everybody. There is a period when children are getting stronger and stronger, but then we reach a peak. And from there on down, it's downhill. And most of us, I believe, are on the downhill side of the hill. And so we begin to sense the changes are taking place in our bodies. And that's what Paul is saying with a lot of his heart. For though our outer man is perishing, is decaying, we sense that more and more things going wrong. Have to go to the doctor more and more often. Have to go through more different doctors, which is so easy in Atlanta. Some places it's not, but that's the way it is in Atlanta. And so these are things we experience. Ecclesiastes 12 is pretty clearly describing that kind of decaying body. And it's a picture that you can hardly duplicate in literature. A beautiful expression. Now, these different things, perhaps you're going to come up with something a little different. In fact, if you look at three or four commentaries on Ecclesiastes, you're going to get different explanations of some of these. But we'll take a stab at them. There's nothing absolutely right or absolutely wrong. But as he speaks about this, he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. The year growing up, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, I have no pleasure in life, I have no pleasure in living. And then he begins to describe this aged person who has lost his interest in living. The sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened. What do you think that refer to?
Eyesight.
That's possible. I think there's one a little bit later that may actually refer to that. But that's one I have too, John.
Memory or intelligence?
Yes.
Memory or intelligence.
Yeah, okay. I think that's right. Things are not just as sharp as they once were. These dull impressions is what I have here. But things just aren't sharp. Your memory, your perceptions, everything is just a little bit less impressive as when you were younger. Okay, the clouds return after the rain. That's one that has a whole kinds of different explanations. Does anybody have any thought on that?
I said it was a brief time of rest that asks for reflection from trials, and then they return again.
Okay. That's good. What else? There's a variety of explanations of this working meaning.
What about if you're sick and then you're well and you get sick and you
went? That's a good talk. You get well, you think I'm well. Here it goes again. Same old thing or maybe something a little worse. That's an interesting, I hadn't seen that one, but that's an interesting one. One that I have seen, yes.
So maybe it's that you keep waiting for the sunshine and things don't get better. You feel like after the rain you think there's going to be sunshine, but no, here come the clouds again.
Okay. You would get some good explanations here in this class. And I really want your input, because on these, some of these, many of these things, experiences are a little different, which suggest different things to us. One of the things I suggest with a gloomy facial expression, when I get pictures made, I think I'm smiling, and then we turn to the storm, and the cloud has returned to the rain. I don't know whether that's, I really like some of these other explanations better, I think. Okay, the watchman of the house tremble. Generally, the hands.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have to demonstrate. It just works that way. The hands begin to tremble. And incidentally, I spell this T-R-I-M-B-L-E. Don't have to go back and correct you. The hands tremble. All right. The mighty men stoop. And I see different possibilities here. Anybody?
Posture.
The posture, I think that's right.
Your bones deteriorate. I mean, as you age, they get weaker, and your body, your weight will pull you.
That's right. My wife keeps on telling me, stand up! okay, but it's a little bit hard. The general thing is that the legs are weakened. That's what the commentary usually suggests, but I think just the bent body is probably the better explanation. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. That's before the days of the dentist, but the teeth are getting few and they didn't have good dentists. In fact, I was going through this, we might come back to it in a minute, and just thinking about how many advantages we have now over what those people had in those days. We've got false teeth and eyeglasses, when somebody began to be blind, and the Africans, people working in Africa, preachers, say, just give us your old eyeglasses. I think, well, they might not fit. Well, they don't have to fit exactly the improved thing. Kaylee can even put at least, I say, well, just use mine. And they're not perfect, but she can see better than she can without them. So even glasses that don't fit are better than no glasses at all. And so the African missionaries are glad to pick up eyeglasses because they just really love to get them because they don't have eye doctors whom to go and get their glasses fitted. All right, so the teeth are few, and that's what we've been talking about already. I think that's pretty clear. Those who look through the windows grow dim. The eyes are dim, and you need glasses. When the doors are shut in the streets, this is one that's a little uncertain. Who has a thought? The ears? Yes. Ears? Yes. The hearing not good? Some have suggested the hearing is the next one, but I think it might be either one of them. When the doors are shut in the streets, some suggest the mouth draws up. You know, if you lose all your teeth, that's what happens. But I think I put that first too. But the next one is pretty surely the hearing failing. And just as we have.
It was that inability to chew.
Yeah,
you can't eat very well.
Even if you've got your teeth, difficulty is hunting. All right, the sound of the grinding mill is low. That's a good. On the other hand, some of you older people, when the chewing got louder and louder. We had one friend that just popped constantly. When you're chewing, you pop, 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 pop. Mine does it occasionally for some reason. All right, so those are all possibilities. Now we look some more here. One will arrive at the sound of the birds. Oh, what do you think about that? There are two possibilities there. What?
Can't
sleep. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think that means you can't sleep at the right times.
I think wake up.
You fall asleep at the wrong time, and then you can't sleep.
Yeah. As soon as the birds start chirping in the morning, wide awake, and can't go back to sleep. All those are possibilities, I think. What did I say? Either wake up early or frightened even by the sound of a bird. What's that? What's this bird? But you're uncertain about it. Okay. The daughters of song will sing softly, are brought low. My daughters of song are really getting a little rough this morning. All right, what do you think that is?
A weaker tremulous voice.
Yeah, voices begin to tremble. I've learned how not to be singing anymore. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that voice cracked. Afraid of high places and terror of the road. We can identify with that pretty quick, can't we?
Yeah.
We're just afraid to get in close to anything that's high, or just afraid to walk, period. Afraid to fall.
Fear of falling. Just in general, things that you thought you could conquer before, you're afraid of now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. The almond tree blossoms. And that gray hairs, I think. Yeah. The old King James used G-R-E-Y, but I think we use G-R-A-Y. All right, the gray hairs. The grasshopper drags himself along. This is another one that the commentary has a good bit of trouble with. Different ideas. What do you think that one is?
No.
What?
Chuckling your feet.
Chuckling your feet. I think that's the one that cursed me. Anybody can have something else.
That or just burden. Just life is just too tough.
Okay. All right. The burden idea. The stress there. Good. Okay. Kind of crippled, burdened.
Not as dry.
Grasshoppers can get where they're going, but it is kind of awkward, isn't it? All right. What'd you say, Cherry?
Not as spry.
Not as spry, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. The silver cord is broken and the bowl is crushed. That may be a broken back. The spine may be the silver cord there. Anybody have a different idea? And the bowl broken, the heart's broken, or the heart's disturbed. The wheel at the cistern is crushed or broken. What keeps the blood flowing isn't working. It's broken. And man goes to the eternal home while the mourners go about the streets. That's a picturesque kind of thing. What do you think?
Well, those last two, the bowl is crushed and the cistern, it really kind of sounds like life is fragile, and when the cord is broken or the cistern,
winding down.
Well, or you're done.
yeah.
I mean, it's, if your blood stops flowing, you're gonna.
It leads to this last one, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Very good. But that's Ruth.
I thought when it says the mourners go on about the street, I thought you're forgotten real quick.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. You are forgotten.
Not that they're wandering around in the street mourning, but they're just going about their life.
Mm-hmm. Going about their life.
So I thought that about the similar idea about the doors are shut in the street. I think of the street as maybe the marketplace of the village, and normally you'd go down and every door would represent an opportunity or some commerce or some transaction. But you go down the street as an older person, those doors are shut. You know what I mean? They're not. Those are activities that you might have done or that others do, but in your world, they're all somewhat close.
Very good, Marty. That's one of the things I think we'll talk about a little bit, that things you used to do as part of your daily routine, no longer. Or things you did well, can't do anymore. We'll talk about that in the next one with David. Greg Martin?
You have to get somebody else to do them for you.
Yeah.
Shop for you.
That's right. That's an interesting look at that. Okay.
I'm thoroughly depressed.
Put that down on your card.
Think of it this way. You don't have to do all this stuff.
Well, that's another way. It's true.
No.
And I'm not. You know, I'm right there. Yeah.
No, but
it's depressing. Mark.
What this just tells us, though, is that it's part of you can expect. And as I said a while ago, we really have a lot of advantages over people that live in other parts of the world, even now. But especially with people from past years.
You know, on that note, 60 is the new 40.
Okay, that's exactly right.
70 is the new 40. Exactly. I mean, it's getting to be, you know, it won't be long. 80 will be the new 40.
Yeah. It's interesting that's, and part of that is the good medical facilities we have. And I know my dad had, I think, died early because of high blood pressure. Well, they've been controlling mine all for years and years and years. And that makes a big difference. And so we have a lot to be thankful for, but you're not going to escape it. You can have artificial hearing, artificial eyes, and maybe an artificial heat water pump, and there's a lot of things, but it's still going to happen. But Paul said we don't grow faint. We don't let that. We don't let it depress us too much, Diane.
Work on that.
We deal with it, and that's really what this course is all about. How we're going to deal with it, but without just going to pieces, without being so totally depressed, we become inactive. In fact, I coined a phrase that maybe somebody else said, but how to live with dying. And that's really what it amounts to. Brother Ken gave us a fine series of lessons about to go on death itself, and I think it was helpful to all of us that were in that class. But we've got to live with it. So how do we live with it and make the most of it? Yes, Katie.
Not let the devil steal your joy. Not let the devil steal your joy.
All right, don't let the devil steal your joy. That's Katie's motto, and it's good for all of us. All right, what does Paul actually suggest in the text that we all read together a while ago? What do we emphasize?
The inner man.
The inner man. The outer man is going. It may go faster, it may go slower. It may go today, it may go tomorrow. But it's going. It's going to be finished. And how do we deal with that? Well, we emphasize the inner man. Before we go to that, though, let's look at Barzillai, and we'll look at him in a full lesson a little bit later. Looking down to who Barzillai is. Or
so, the reference in the lesson I had was wrong. It's 2 Samuel 19.
Oh, I thought I got that changed by the time I... Yeah.
You might be right in the book, the ones that were handed out Wednesday night.
Okay, yeah, on Wednesday night. I changed it in advance. Okay. The ones in the book are right. Okay. It's 2 Samuel. All right, Kate. Who is Barzillai? When David was fleeing from Absalom, he was a great helper to David. So when David had won, when the battle had been won, Absalom was dead, David was returning, he offered to take Barzillai to the palace. I'll feed you from now on. What did Barzillai say about himself?
He was 84.
All right. 80 years old, and I can't discern between good and bad. That's some of the idea of the cloud returning after the dark. He couldn't taste anything. No need to feed me some really good food because I can't taste it. And if I did eat it, well, it might not agree with me. Always a possibility. What else did he do? I couldn't hear. If you have all kinds of entertainment you can't hear, I have days off and on. Like I can tell when I put my hearing aid on in the morning, is this going to be a good day or a bad day? I had a really bad day that for a funeral. I was supposed to leave the song. I tried to get out of it, brother insisted. And I had a bad day, and I could hardly even hear the pitch pipe, and much less hear myself when I'm singing. But anyway, hey, those bad days come when you can't hear any longer. And I would be a burden to the king. And I think that's one of the things that worries us the most, burdening of people. That surely is one of the things some of you will list. All right, so these were the characteristics that he had. There are two parts of a person. And this is the solution, really, to the problem. You can't, I think we go to the doctor, we take our medicine. I was just told this week, you've got to exercise more. So we exercise more. And we do what we can to keep the body going. Who does the body belong to? It's God. 1 Corinthians 6, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, the spirit is of God. And so we have a responsibility to take care of this body, just as we would take care of somebody else's car if we borrowed it, or somebody else's coat if we borrowed it. It's borrowed from God. It's His. So we need to take the best care we can of it. But that, we just can't preserve it forever. He didn't intend for us to preserve it forever. That's one of the things we need to learn. It's part of His plan for us, for our benefit, that the body weaken and die. So we just have to learn that. And though we take care of the body, it's going to go. But what do we do with it? We remember that there's another part. And we'll look at some passages here. I'll read this one for us, if you would, Leanne.
And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
That's an interesting contrast with the way he created the animals. He apparently just spoke them into existence. But he forms man of the dust of the ground. Now, I get the impression that he just makes him like a mannequin in the body, but it's not living. That's the outer man that he's created. But then he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. Whose life? God's life is and we are actually a part of God's being. God lit life. He breathes into us this, and this inner man makes us a person. It joins with the other outer man, and this is when we become a person. There's a lot of discussion of the soul and the meaning of the word soul and spirit. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 mentions, I can put that here, the body, soul, and spirit. And it's sort of hard sometimes to make the distinction. The witnesses have a field day with it. But anyway, there are two parts of us. This is very evident. And most other passages actually deal with two parts. Read this one for us, please, Sherry.
Then the dead soul return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
So at death, there's separation. What happens to the body? Goes back to the dust. We read that just a moment ago when God made man. He made him out of dust. And his body goes back to the dust. But what about the inner man? It goes to God. There are a lot of mysteries about this that I can't solve. I don't know. The body goes back to the dust. It seems to be, in some instances, just completely obliterated. And yet it is what's going to be raised in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There's some kind of a germ there that's preserved. I don't know. So that what we is new is related somehow to what is old. But I don't know how. Yes. Anybody want to explain it to us?
I cannot explain, but I'm thinking about those who are cremated.
Yes. But
it's just part of your DNA still there.
But they become dead, the ashes. there's something left always, isn't there? And I don't know how that works.
So Paul seems to address that when he says, hypothetically, he says, well, someone will say, how are the dead? And if he's probably thinking about all those very questions.
Yeah.
I think the next thing he says is, thou fool.
Yeah. Maybe I got in trouble that one time.
You should be asking those questions.
Somebody in class said, Brother Hall, what kind of body would come in? Paul would have asked that. Let's see what Paul says. Thou fool. But anybody, I think the way that is the person who's asking it as a denial that there is a resurrection. Ha, what kind of body would he come with? Well, you fool, God can make any kind of body he wants to. And that's what follows in that 15th chapter. He makes some body flesh for birds and some for fish, some for terrestrial bodies, some celestial bodies. God's capable of all kind of variety.
We plant seeds that, for the most part, totally disintegrate on the ground, as he says. Something totally different comes out. We don't question that it's related to the seed.
Totally different. All right, so thus, but this very clearly establishes that there are two parts, the two parts of man, doesn't it? We're going to look at a little look at the next one. John, you want to read that?
Do not fear those who kill the body, but not kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
This particular passage is one of the most effective in dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses. They maintain that when you're dead all over, as the old saying goes. But the fact is, here he says you can kill the body, but there's something else you can't kill. That's the soul. That's this inner man that we're talking about. So even though this outer man is decaying and perishing, this inner man is not affected by that. Is not affected by that. All right, let's read one more. Who can see that? Aaron, read that for us.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed.
So that's the text that we read. And we've got the outer man and the inner man. And these are contrasted. All right. All right. Thank you, Anita. All right. Well, let's see. These two parts of a person are there. What are some things, and I don't have any listed here at all because you'll come up with others. What are some things we can do that strengthen this inner man even while this outer man is decaying and dying? It is a bit obvious, I suppose, but I'd like just to have something from you.
Prayer.
Your
prayer.
Prayer. Yes. How does prayer strengthen the inner man?
Gives you solace and gives you hope and gives you someone to communicate even in the
longest
time.
And it reminds us there's somebody else out there that's in charge, doesn't it? It really does. Prayer is certainly one of the things. You want to write to the end, that's fine. Something else?
Study your Bible.
Studying the Bible. Reading the Bible. That's and one of the things we're going to suggest as you go along is that when you're busy, 8 hours a day, 9, 10 hours a day, then you come home, you got work. We just don't have time to read. Now, we should fit it in, and true Christians do, but it's a struggle. But when you get older and you don't have to be at work and you don't have the children to feed and take care of, you sit there, what you going to do? It's too easy to just do that. And reading the Bible, here's an opportunity now that we didn't have before. And so we can strengthen this inner man by reading the Bible. Reading, I don't know if it's a good show, reading good, but books. A lot of people read. You just go to the library and you see people going with a whole stack of books. But most of it is, some of it is filth. Some of it is just entertaining, interesting, and that's okay. But there are a lot of good books that can be read. They're good, even novels that are based on faith and can be inspiring. And we ought to share that kind of book with one another and spend time reading uplifting and edifying material, even fiction, that is written with the idea of inspiration. Anything else? Yes, Bob?
I was going to say, fight the feeling of wanting to be isolated. Force yourself to be with other Christians a lot.
Force yourself.
Sometimes it's easy to stay in because it's more difficult to get out.
I'm going to quote my wife occasionally on this, if she didn't mind. But she'll say, I just don't feel like going over there and doing this, you know. And then when it's over, you know what she says? I'm sure glad we did it. I'm sure glad we did it. And I like that, Sherry. That's an interesting thing. The idea of forcing ourselves to associate with people, to go and do things that we really don't feel like. The outer man doesn't really feel like doing it. But the inner man is renewed and strengthened by the excellent. Somebody else had something over here.
She basically said what I was going to.
Mention what?
She basically mentioned what I was going to, but also, you know, get involved in mentors. The older ladies mentor some of the young men, the older men mentor some of the younger men.
That's
involved in their lives.
That's extremely valuable.
If you're able, like you mentioned, in the hospitals or sick, and, or maybe just call. Say, can we pray over the phone? Things like that. You get involved in people's lives.
Very, very good. Thinking of others in every way possible. And maybe you can do something material to help, a dish or something, or it may be just a call or a card. Doing something for other people is one of the best ways to get attention off ourselves. In fact, that's a lot of it, isn't it? We're aching about it, but something really exciting happens. And we almost forget about that pain we were having, because now it is something favorable. And this is one of the things that works with it.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Yeah,
right. I've joked with folks sometimes that I enjoy being with younger people more than people my age. But all we do is talk about what medicines we're taking.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Well, what doctor you put me to have, because I enjoy being with younger people.
And when we do what you said, seek to mentor, to encourage, to strengthen younger people, they get something out of it. But I think sometimes we get more of it than they do. And I love the young people that look for it or appreciate it. Some young people don't. In fact, that's, I don't know if you get that on there. One of the things that can be disturbing about old age, and there's some examples in the Bible, when they won't listen to you because you're old. They just, they don't think you've got any wisdom to offer. And when you've got young people that, I had a couple of young people that wanted to be in this class, and I suggest, I think maybe it'd be better not. We might talk a little more freely about our aches and pains, and they might get tired of it. But anyway, it's wonderful to have young people who treasure and appreciate what older people have to offer.
That sermon that was on death, and that we, to think about heaven more, and to realize that is going to come, and not to fear it, but to,
yeah,
to look forward to
it.
So meditation, maybe.
I
don't
even meditate, yeah.
Maybe, what are you saying about that, Aaron?
To meditate on the things that we could do to renew the inner man.
Okay. Okay, and then that's possible if we can control the pain. Isn't that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying to think about.
Well, another thing is just have an attitude of gratitude. Look back and see all the things. I mean, there's always things that are a blessing. You know,
okay.
I mean, at least you still have two legs that you can walk.
Yeah,
you do have your eyes, and I mean, just count your blessings.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Think about other people and how much beneficial. I remember, I think where we get when I was in rehab, we all talk about our aches and pains. Yes, one of the reasons I young people in here. But when I was in rehab after I broke my arm, I was feeling really sorry for myself till I saw somebody that had no leg at all, jumping up on a mattress in the gym and doing so many things. I thought, what have I been fussing about? I just got a broken arm. Maybe I didn't even have a living. So there's always somebody that is more. That renews us inside. It really does. That's good thought. Anything else anybody thinks of? Jerry?
Singing. And that kind of helps with what Aaron said. If we sing songs about heaven and what we have to look forward to, that helps us with our focus.
Yeah. I've got several books I read before I prepared these lessons. Now, I'm going to share them with somebody who won't take one and read it. Some are better than others, obviously. But one of them mentioned singing. And the person said, I never did sing. I kind of changed my singing, but I thought that it was going to be good. So when nobody around, I start singing in the shower and singing at home and singing hymns. Oh, these, some of these hymns. And the more you sing them, the more you see in them, if they're good hymns, the more you see in them that can be inspiring. Then, thank you, Cherry.
And they're uplifting.
What is that?
They uplifting.
Oh, they're uplifting. Yes, they're teaching, admonishing, strengthening. Okay. Anything else? These are good suggestions. Okay. Oops. All right. Some challenging questions. And they're challenging to me. And I think to all of us, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the health of your physical body? And going back 20, 30 years ago, I expect most others maybe 8 or 9. But could we raise it that high now? I always hate it when the nurse asks, how would you rate your pain? Oh, I will rate my pain. But they expect you, don't they? All right. How do you rate your health? Yeah. What do you say, Katie?
I would say maybe a six. The things I used to do, I can't do anymore. But I can do them slowly.
Okay.
Much slowly than I.
That's an interesting point, yeah. In the word, instead of a 6+, it's 6-9.
Yeah.
Yes, Karen.
This has to do with when I go to the doctor and they say, you know, how much medicine do you take? Do you drink? Do you, and I'm glad I can put no to all that. And all that has given me, I feel, a healthier body. And that's a blessing that God's, you know,
Right.
I think that's.
Well, I think our outer
not
man
promised.
Is affected by our inner health, don't you think? I think that's really right. Yes, Marty?
Well, the first difficulty you have with that is, you know, are you going to compare it to yourself when you were 21 years old, or to an Olympic athlete who at 21 years old, or to the average 65-year-old, you know, that's the thing. I think we get a little bit, sometimes maybe even competitive about, well, I'm doing better than all those other old people who are in my class, you know, or whatever. And so there may be a source of pride. I think your point about this outward decay being a blessing from God, it is there to discipline us, I suppose, to help us face the reality. But we escape that by thinking about different reference points, right?
So. I'm going to bring up a point, and we may not finish, but I guess one of the things I dread is having other people just have to take care of me around the clock. My dad dreaded it, and yet he had cancer and went down to where he couldn't do anything for himself. Somebody else had to do it. And I couldn't help but think about it. What is it that says, I don't want anybody taking care of me? What in me is that makes me feel that way?
Pride,
Jerry. And if God sees too much of that in us and lets us suffer to the point somebody else has to care for us and humble us, has that made us more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Humility is a blessing. And whatever makes us more humble is something that makes us a little better.
I don't know what it meant for sure. Peter being kind of the quick actor, you know, confident, overconfident apostle. What Jesus said about him was something like, when he got old, he wouldn't have any of that control. You know,
others will guard you. If that take you where you don't want to go.
Part of his final training, you know, was to get over that self-reliance.
That's right.
Are you saying that we should look forward to those days when others have to take care of us?
No. Not saying that.
But don't keep dwelling on it and pulling yourself down over that.
And don't feel like we've been mistreated because
you're strength from God. Your strength no longer comes from you, it's from Him.
I think you just have to question why that disturbs you. You can still be as disturbed as you like about it on behalf of those others who have that effort and sacrifice to give, but if it's just a matter of pride, that's a problem.
That's right. Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the health of your inner man? Would anybody give it a 10?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't give it a 10. I don't think anybody should give themselves a 1, anybody in this class. It's well enough. But whatever it is, the point Paul is making is, if it's a 5, it can become a 6. And it doesn't matter how old you are, or I am. It doesn't matter how weak we are, how many physical ailments we have. That 5 can become a 6, and a 6 can become a 7, and a 7 can become an 8. And right on down the line. And so, that's what it's saying. Concentrate on that inner man. The other man's going to go anyway, but the inner man can be made better and better and better constantly. And just concentrate on that. All right, well, which really concerns us most? When we get an ache or a pain, or when we've sinned? or when we have failed to do something, which is a sin within itself, that we know we ought to do, which really worries us most. And then 3 John, the 2nd chapter. Read that for us, Ruth. Would you? Can you see it? Can you see it?
Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Would this be a blessing to you?
Oh, that's the question. Would this be a blessing? You see, I just hope you'll have health as good as your the outer man will be as strong as your inner man. For some people, that would be a real blessing, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Because their outer man is weak, but this inner man is strong. Tom Holly has had a stroke this past week. Mm-hmm. He's doing better. He called me last night, and he's much better. But this would be a blessing to Tom. Let your outer man be as strong as your inner man. That would be a real conscious blessing with it. Tommy Adams had 3 strokes.
Sometimes it's a blessing though if your outer man is failing.
Right.
It gives you a chance, a reason to sit down and study.
Really, that's right. Do what we can to improve it. All right, which part of you plan to nourish most in this coming year? That's the thing. I want to take up these cards before we leave. Time is up. And let's just pass them to the end.
Yeah, somebody has a question.
Yes.
I've heard.
Pardon me. My hearing is going in.
Tommy Adams had 3 lights.
Yes. I mentioned that, and he seems to survive them very well in life before. Thank you. I'm looking forward to reading these, and I will have some. We'll have opportunity, I think, to cover some of them that may not be in the lessons themselves. Any questions? Thank you for being here, and I sure appreciate your participation.